Welcome to Open House, the real estate and mortgage show on News Talk 580 CFRA. If you have any questions about mortgages or real estate, give us a call at 521-TALK. That's 521-8255.
Good morning, Mr. Napolitano.
Good morning.
Morning, Mr. Rushforth.
Good morning, fellas. How are we this morning?
Very well. How about you? Sun is shining. Market is dead.
Market is dead. Such a damn shame what's going on. Absolutely shame.
Now, before we go any further, you are both essential services, correct?
We are.
We are. That being said, most of our staff have been working from home for the last few weeks, and only a couple of them go in. And, you know, I believe that for some people, for their mental health, it's more important for them to go into the office. And as long as the office has got safety protocols in place, which we obviously do, then we're okay with it. But, again, we are essential services. And, again, a couple of my staff just are not comfortable working from home at all. So
really?
They're the only ones in there. And we have a 7,000-square-foot office. So when there's two or three people in 7,000 square feet, I'd like to think that's fairly safe.
Yeah, we have I have one person in the East End office. I have one person in the West End office. But, you know, the agents still use the office. I mean, they have to, you know, whether it's, you know, photocopies or any of that kind of stuff. So they still use it. But, you know, we had our offices all sprayed down this week as well, just for precaution, just to, you know, keep up to date with everything. But, yeah, I mean, I still go to the office. I prefer to go to the office. I'm more functional at the office, and some of the agents do as well. So we do everything safe, just like Frank was talking about. And, you know, real estate doesn't change. I mean, I've seen many posts by a lot of realtors now. They're saying, oh, I'm shutting down. I can't do anything. Listen, guys, we've gone through this before. We know how to do this safe. We know how to do this the right way, and we're going to continue to do it the right way. You know, I think we have the advantage of this is, what, month 13 or 14 that we've gone through this, and we know what we're doing. Yes, are we in, you know, our case is absolutely out of control right now. Yes, they are. But it doesn't change the way we safely do things, and we have to continue on. People need to buy and sell every day.
This is going to drive home sales even higher now?
It's hard to tell. I mean, we're seeing a tiny bit of a slowdown in the East End of Ottawa, but we're still seeing it crazy in the West and the South and the downtown core. You know, the listings are starting to pile on the market. We're seeing tons of inventory right now. We're almost at 1,500 active listings on the market, which we haven't been in ages.
Well, that's a cause for celebration.
And it is cause for celebration for buyers, for sure. We're still seeing multiple offers. Like I mentioned last week, in March, 80% of all properties went over asking price, and 6% went right at asking price, and 14% under asking price. But I'm seeing a shift. I'm talking to a lot of my agents, and there's you know, for the first time ever, I think we reduced two properties last week, which doesn't happen very often. So we are seeing a bit of a shift, and I've been saying that for the last 2 weeks. And you know, with this, you know, a shutdown, it's hard to predict what's going to happen. The last time we had a shutdown, the real estate market just continued. So we'll see what happens with this one.
Yeah, with the exception of the very first shutdown, right?
Well, the very first shutdown. So our worst month was this month, 12 months ago in April, was the worst month in the real estate market. The number of sales were down 55%. However, in that time frame, the average sale price was still up 5.9%. So throughout the entire pandemic, we've never seen the average sale price go down. We've seen the number of listings go down. We've seen the number of sales go down. But yeah, we were down 55% last April. I don't predict that happening this April.
Frank, are things going to take a little bit longer now, or are we pretty much used to this? Will it take longer to get a hold of lawyers, that kind of thing?
Well, again, they're locked down, and they're an essential service as well, and people have purchased their homes, and people are moving, and, you know, I've got a number of customers that are closing this week and next week, so life is normal for, they have to, I mean, they have to get out of one house and move into another, so lawyers are, again, they've adapted well. I mean, like Paul said, we're 13, 14 months into this, they've adapted well. I mean, there's, you know, my son bought a house, and he signed all his documents last week, and he's not closing until the end of next week. So, well ahead of schedule, brought the draft already. So, basically, all he's waiting for now is the keys on a week Friday. So, a lot of lawyers are getting on top of it early. Again, relying on the lenders to send the paperwork, and that's been the challenge for us in our business, where lenders are doing audit 2 weeks, a week before the closing, and then asking for additional documentation and holding up the funding sometimes, and even sending deals in right now. I mean, you know, the numbers are record-breaking right now in our industry as well, and the banks have had hiring freezes on for the last 13, 14 months. So they're getting more volume, but the same amount of people are doing it, and they're doing it from home, so that everything is taking longer. So, you know, where we used to be able to get approvals in 2, 3, 4 days, sometimes we're waiting 5, 6, 7, 8 days to get them now on purchases. And on refinances, sometimes we're waiting 2 to 3 weeks to get the approval back.
Wow.
I think, Steve, and Frank, I think one thing that the people listening, consumers out there, have to understand is we know what we're doing. We've done this for months. You know, for a year, we've done this. And I'll talk for the realtors here. The realtors have done an amazing job. The real estate board has done an amazing job of keeping everyone, abreast of what's going on, the procedures we need to follow. Realtors have done a great job. Very rarely do I hear a story of, you know, a realtor going in there with a wife and a husband and, you know, three kids and the grandparents. Like, very rarely do I hear that. Right now, it's just the realtor and two people can go through the house. You know, if there's kids involved, they have to either stay outside with one of the parents or... And I just think the realtors in the city have done a really good job of keeping everybody safe and doing things the right way. So anyone listening, if you're worried what's going to happen, if you have your house on the market and you're worried it's not going to sell, if you're a purchaser and you're worried about going through a house with a realtor, don't worry. We are doing things the right way, and you will be safe. The real estate market has to continue.
And what speaking of realtors, Paul, I'm presenting to the realtors this Tuesday here in Ottawa on what's going on in the mortgage industry and how to structure an offer so that we have our best chance of financing if a financing clause is needed, and what happens if we're in a scenario where a financing clause is not acceptable. How do we proceed? So I'm looking forward to doing that on Tuesday.
What are some of the big mistakes made, Frank?
What's a financing clause?
I know.
Is that such a thing?
I got one this week. I actually got a purchase agreement with the financing clause this week. It was kind of cool.
Wow.
It's been a while since I'd seen one. Yeah, it's been a while since I'd seen one.
You know who I feel really sorry for right now is the home inspectors. You know, I remember going through, yep, even in 2019 when things were starting to get a little bit crazy, and then we got into 2020, I remember going through a house with one of my home inspectors, and he's like, I'm down to about a quarter of the inspections. And that was last year. Can you imagine what's going on this year? These poor inspectors must be going out of business right now.
Are they doing any post-inspections just to put the new owners at ease?
Yes. Yeah. There's, you know, we always recommend, once you buy a property, if you have to go in firm, which almost every home you're going in firm, it's worth doing a post inspection. And, you know, you want to find little things wrong with the property that you can fix up. And I'll be very honest with you. There's going to be lots wrong with the property. I've never been through a property where a home inspector doesn't, you know, pick out, you know, 2, 3, 4, 10, 15, 20 things. But it's worth doing. You want to know. You want to know if there's any red flags going forward. And unfortunately, it's, you know, you will find some things. It's just the nature of the beast right now that you have to go in firm on most properties.
Well, that would make sense because you want to start fresh. You want to know, you know, out of the gate that your house is going to be all right. And there's nothing that you really have to worry about for the next month, 2 months,
yeah,
5 months.
Yeah, and you know what? People were looking at doing sort of these pre-inspections too. But the problem is you got the realtor, you got the home inspector, and only one consumer can go in. And a lot of these properties are so hot that people are making them, you know, a 15-minute or even half an hour time frame to go through the property. Well, you can't do an inspection in that time frame. So they're not really happening pre-sale. But I recommend them post-sale for sure.
Now, what about if you're showing your house? Anything different you should be doing now?
What do you mean? Like if the realtor's showing the house?
No, I mean the actual owner, as far as cleaning, that kind of thing goes.
Well, yeah, I mean, you do want to sanitize as much as possible. I mean, as safe as the realtors are, we still have to touch things. Like, we still have to open doorknobs. We still have to open cupboards. You know, we recommend that the seller keeps lights on so we don't have to turn on any lights. But, you know, it's worth sanitizing your house. You know, you could also have sanitizer out before walking through the house. People sanitize their hands. That way, if they touch something, you know, they've been sanitized. And then, obviously, when they leave, they'll sanitize as well. But, you know, it's a weird, weird world we're living in right now. And I just think that, you know, it's an opportunity to adapt, do things different, make some changes. And these are changes that I believe are going to go on for eternity now. I mean, some of the things we're doing, some of the things Frank's doing and the mortgage brokers, even some of the things the lawyers are doing, we've been able to pivot and adapt and just do things differently, smarter. Technology's taken over, and I think these are things that are going to continue until the end of time.
Are the banks accepting online now, Frank?
Yes, they're accepting e-signatures. There's always a document or two that requires hand signatures, and one of them being if you're paying out a mortgage somewhere else and the bank is doing a switch. You know, the payout statement needs to be hand-signed because the other lender doesn't acknowledge it. And the other lender is looking for a reason not to take the mortgage not to leave. So they're always looking for things. So, you know, with the exception of a handful of documents, every single lender now accepts e-signatures. A couple of the banks were late to the game, but they had no choice. They had to join. So it's been refreshing. I still try to do a lot of video conferences because, as you know, I mean, I'd like meeting my customers face to face. And
you don't jog before them, do you?
nor do I change in front of the camera. So, like some other MPs have been doing lately. I have no idea why, but you know what? I mean, I think video conferences are great. I mean, a 30-minute, 40-minute conversation, we're face to face and answer all the questions and. Still get to meet the people. So I think technology has changed the way we do business. I mean, in Paul's case, I mean, you know, they still need to meet face-to-face with the customers, obviously, to look at a house. But once that's done, then everything else could be done either by phone call or by video conference. So
yeah, and we, as realtors, we've been doing e-signature now for...
I can't even remember how long,
but quite a while. And I remember I closed on a purchase in March of last year on a townhouse, and I remember closing with the lawyer, signing all this huge amount of paperwork, thinking, and I said to him, I said, are you guys ever going to get with the times and you know, become paperless and e-signature things? And he's like, no, not in law. No, not lawyers. Well, guess what? The pandemic forced them to do that, so they're doing it now as well. So,
hey, if it wasn't for lawyers, there wouldn't be any more fax machines.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what? That was going to happen anyway, because they're not teaching kids how to cursive write anymore, so kids would have no idea how to sign their name. So as they grow up, I'm glad the electronic signatures are here, because otherwise they'd be printing their names out.
Yeah, don't even get me started what they're teaching kids nowadays, Frank. My God, no cursive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's funny because my son actually made a joke. He's like, you know, in our age, we don't have to learn to read and write. Everything's done for us. And I said, yeah, but, you know, there's times where you have to write handwritten notes, read contracts and sign contracts. You need to know all that stuff.
So how are they signing these days?
They're printing.
Really?
Yeah, they don't learn cursive.
Like just an X?
Yeah, pretty much.
521-TALK, 521-8255. Got questions? We're here, and we'll be right back.
We return to Open House, the Real Estate and Mortgage Show on News Talk 580 CFRA.
Welcome back to the show.
You know, Steve, thanks for the video of the studio, man. I kind of miss that place.
Yeah, it's just not the same without you guys here.
No, how many weeks has it been now?
56, I think, maybe even more.
And so this is also show number 696?
You are correct.
Oh, we're only four away from 700.
Are we going to make it?
I don't know. You're the only one we have to worry about.
I don't know. You're getting pretty old there, Paul.
I know.
Hey, Frank, where are we at with rates nowadays?
We are just slightly below 2% if you're high ratio purchase or 65% loan-to-value purchase on a 25-year amortization. And if you're in conventional, which is uninsured, which is 20% down, but 30-year amortization, then you're in the low twos somewhere. So 219, 214, 224, depending on the lender.
So we've crept up a little bit in the past month or so?
Well, since the end of February, there was a spike. The last week of February, there was a spike in the bond markets, and a lot of the lenders hiked the rates. And then there was a little one the third week of March. There was another little spike. And we saw rates go up a little bit. And since then, it's been pretty flat. Actually, it's come down since they raised the rates, but they haven't adjusted their rates yet. Surprise, surprise.
You mean, wait a minute. They haven't adjusted them?
No, they haven't come down a lot, with all fairness to them. They haven't come down, you know, it's not like they've really come down. They've remained fairly stable, but down a little bit over the last two or three weeks. But nonetheless, you know what? I think there's pressure on some of the banks to keep the rates a little bit higher to try and cool off this housing market, right or wrong and fair or not. I think they're feeling, or at least the government is certainly not going to discourage them from raising rates. That's for sure. So that's the fear I have a little bit, is that They've got kind of an open forum right now. If they want to raise rates, that they can, and really nobody's going to question it.
Yeah, I'm hearing. Go ahead.
I don't like that. Yeah, I don't like the fact that they're trying to bring in these measures to cool off the housing market, and I believe it's organically going to happen. Yes, have we seen a crazy last 12 months? Yes, we have. Have our 3 months, even 3 months, been that insane? Yes, they have. But I think, you know, bringing in measures to cool off the market, I think, is a big mistake. It's going to do what they did to Toronto when it basically crippled that market for a little while. I just don't like the idea, you know, raising the stress test. I don't like the idea. It's going to organically happen as listings start hitting the market, as builders get back to building. You know, it's just going to happen. And I would hate to see them just kill this market right now.
And if it doesn't happen, Paul, would you give it another 6 months or so?
Yeah, if they don't slow down this market, I'm giving it, I would assume another 6 months. Maybe to the end of the year, we're going to have a really crazy, robust market. But like I said, over the last 2 weeks, I've already seen signs of a cool down. And it will cool down. Will we see prices come down? No. But we will see more listings, you know, more inventory, you know, allows buyers to have a little bit more choice, rather than having to go, you know, $100,000 over asking. Maybe now they're only going to go $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 over asking. So homes will still go over asking. At the end of this month, when they come out with the numbers, obviously the numbers are going to be crazy because our April last year was so bad. So the number of sales is going to be way up compared to April of last year. And I believe the average sale price will be up as well. But when it comes to how many are sold over asking, you know, in March it was 80%. I feel like that number will come down in April. I feel like that number could be somewhere in the 65 to 70% selling over asking. So I know a lot of my realtors, we talk about it as well every Tuesday at the meeting, and they're like, yeah, you know what, we're seeing more of a slowdown in the east, less in the west and the south. It's still pretty crazy out there in the west and the south. So I do think it will organically slow down a little bit.
Are agents going to have to become more and more creative now as things maybe slow down a bit?
They are. Yep, they're going to have to become creative. I think if you're on the buy side, you know, for the longest time, we have been, if you list a property, your listing clients love you. And if you're working with buyers, they get grumpy with you. You know, I have one of my agents say, oh, God, is the market always going to be like this? I'm like, well, what's the alternative? Have your listings people grumpy with you and your buyers loving you?
Yeah.
You know, it would be nice to find that happy medium. But I do think, you know, we're already seeing some sellers are hopefully trying to shift their realism, because there's a lot of sellers out there that still think they can, you know, list it for 600 and get a million, and it's slowing down. That process is definitely slowing down.
And with the latest restrictions, Frank, do you see rates coming down at all?
No, I don't see rates coming down. I think, like I said, the banks are encouraged to keep rates where they are, if not increase them a little bit. Again, the latest announcement isn't formal yet. It's just a proposal at this point. We'll know the first week of May whether they're moving forward with it. And if it does move forward, it will go into effect June 1st. So anybody that's buying a house between now and June 1st will still be able to qualify under existing rules. But after June 1st, instead of qualifying at 4.79% if you're buying a house with 20% down, or if you're refinancing, you'll have to qualify at 5.25%. So again, not earth-shattering. If this is their idea of cooling the house market, then they've missed the mark, obviously, because this is not going to cool the housing market. I think this is more to temper renewals and refis more than anything else. Part of the issues we have with it is that, you know, clients that have existing mortgages, if they don't qualify under the new rules, then they have to stay at their current institution, and their current institution, knowing that they may not be able to go somewhere else, will not give them the best rate. And that's what we fight for our customers, to make sure that they have mobility in their mortgage, and not let this changes like these impact them. But that's we got to wait. I mean, we put our proposals forward, and we'll see what happens between now and May 7th and June 1st.
So, Frank, if you're locked in with a rate, like, you don't have to move into a property by June 1st, or you don't have to...
No.
Okay, so do you have to purchase
your application
something by June 1st?
Yes. So you have to have a purchase agreement in place by... So a pre-approval will be at existing rules until June 1st. If you haven't purchased the property by June 1st, then your pre-approval will have to be amended to the new rules if you're buying with 20% down. But
if you
buy a house between now and June 1st, you qualify at today's rules.
You seem to sound pretty serious that they're going to actually implement this, Frank.
Yeah, generally proposals are implemented. Again, I mean, unless we saw a month or two, which it's too late. I mean, they offered to do it for June 1st, which means they're reviewing it right now, and they'll tell us their decision the first week of May. So the April numbers won't even be out. But if the April numbers cooled off, which they won't, because like Paul said, we're up against last year, and last year the month of March and April were bleak. So numbers can only go up, which means that there's no reason for them to shy away from it. So I do believe that they're going to pass it. And there's a budget coming up, I think it's this week, and it'll be interesting to see if any other announcements are made by the government who really, I hope they know what they're doing on the housing, because they certainly have failed on the pandemic. And so,
yeah, you know, we talked about last year. I mean, the numbers for the average sale price won't be that out of whack when you compare last year, last April, even last May. I mean, if you look at April last year, our average sale price was up 5.9. In May, it was up 12.8. And in June, it was up 16.3. So I think when the numbers come out at the end of April, May, and June, I don't think there's going to be a huge drastic change in the average sale price.
It'll be up 20%.
It'll be up 20%. Easily. But it's not like...
Well, that's drastic, though, right?
No, it is drastic. But, you know, we're comparing a huge pent-up over the last year, for sure. So it's going to easily be 20%. It'll probably be much more, but you know, the number of sales, that's going to be through the roof. But you know, I think people are looking at the average sale price anyways when they're talking about trying to cool off the market. And I think this new stress test, that's not going to cool off the market. It's only for people with 20% down. Usually, with people with 20% down, they're move up buyers or move down buyers, and they have tons of equity in their property, and this won't be an issue at all.
I think we have to change the term average sale price. I don't think there is anything like average anymore.
Wow, it's
so true.
You know what? At the end of March, and I think I said this last week, at the end of March compared to the end of December, so we're talking 3 months, our average sale price was up $117,000 in 3 months.
Unbelievable. 521-TALK, 521-8255. We'll be right back.
We return to Open House, the Real Estate and Mortgage Show on News Talk 580 CFRA.
Welcome back with Paul Rushforth. Paul Rushforth, Real Estate, and Frank Napolitano, MortgageBrokersOttawa.com. Frank, Paul, are you seeing any kind of a shift? Are people still looking for property these days?
Are we seeing a shift? Or are people looking for property?
No, with land, I mean.
Oh, with land. No, we're still seeing that shift. I mean, listen, we're right in the height of this pandemic right now, and it's not as if we're coming out of it anytime soon. People are still working from home, and we've talked about this before. That might continue for a lot of people, for a lot of businesses, that it might be a permanent move. For probably the last year, we're seeing a shift where people were actually looking at the outskirts of Ottawa. They were looking at bigger properties. They were looking at more land, which we haven't seen that in years. So, and we've talked about it, how dead that market was. And it really shifted to the outskirts of the city. A lot of the outlying areas were going up faster than what they were through suburbia. And that hasn't changed. It hasn't changed, and I think, you know, potentially until we get out of this pandemic and people go back to work, I don't think it will change. You know, once people get back to work and the world goes back to normal and, you know, people have to go back to work and they're sick of those commutes, it might change where we might see more attention back onto the core of Ottawa rather than the outskirts. But as of right now, you're still looking at great demand on the outskirts of Ottawa.
Outskirts keep getting further and further too, don't they?
They do. They do. You know, but when you go, one of the biggest things right now is internet. If you're in an area in the outskirts of Ottawa that doesn't have great internet, that's one of the first questions people ask. Oh, love the property. How's the internet?
Yeah.
Because if you're working from home, you know, like I have my place in Constance Bay where the internet is horrible. So it's hard if you're selling something there with someone who wants to work from home because the internet's so bad up there.
And it's not cheap either.
No, it's not. It's not. But yeah, I think we're, as long as you're in an area in the outskirts of Ottawa with some land and some value, and you have good internet, someone can work from there. And we're seeing a lot of families now moving to the outskirts, for that purpose. And a lot of them have told us, I mean, we're like, well, what happens when you have to go back to work? I mean, you're moving 45, 50 minutes away from your work. And they're like, well, my employer's told me that we are no longer going back to work. So that's why we're looking out here. And I said, well, if that's the case, I mean, you can do that. Because there's a lot of people that still like that small town feel, right? So, you know, of the Empires or the Carlton Places or somewhere like that. They like that small town feel, and now people are able to do it because they don't have to worry about the commute every day.
Frank wanted me to ask, are two kitchens still popular?
They are for Frankie and his family, that's for sure.
You'd be surprised, though, how many people I bet you would be very, very happy to get that second kitchen, especially once entertainment comes back. And look at the people that are putting kitchens outdoors these days, Paul. It's incredible. I mean, having that second kitchen is not a bad thing, I don't think.
521-TALK, 521-8255. Let's go to Nepean and say hi to Jared. Hello, Jared.
Hello, thank you very much for taking my call. Just want to say I love your show. Been watching, listening for many months, and I'm learning a lot.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Yeah, so I'm 26 years old. I'm fairly new into the real estate market. I just want to get your idea of if you think the condo market, particularly in Barrhaven area, is expected to go up. The reason is because I purchased a condo about a year and a half ago. It's built some pretty excellent equity so far, and I'm just wondering if you think that condo markets continue to go up. Is it going to go up as it reaches peak? Do you guys have any ideas about that?
Yeah, so you bought a condo town, right? Like a condo town, or is it like a terrace home, like a walk-up?
Yes, like the ones near Chapman Mills area.
Yeah, the Chapman Mills area, yeah. Yeah, they've actually had a really good run-up over the last little bit, especially in the Barrhaven area. Barrhaven and Kanata, both those areas have had a great run-up. So if you purchased a year ago, there's a possibility that you're up at least $100,000 on what you paid for it, maybe even more, which is great news for you. And yeah, what's going to happen with the condo market? Condo towns, so the difference between the sort of the high-rise condominiums and a condo town, so when we paint the condo market with one brush, I'm going to say the condo market's going to be average. But when we paint it with the high-rise condominiums, I think those are going to struggle. And when we paint it with the condo towns, I think those are not going to struggle. I think you're going to have a good, there's still going to be a good demand on those because they're still somewhat affordable. First-time homebuyers are one of the only things that are affordable. But I think, you know, one thing that people realized during this pandemic is the high-rise condominiums were not as sought after, mainly because people didn't want to be on top of each other in elevators and things like that. But no, I think what you did, especially at 26, congratulations, that's amazing. But
yeah, the reason I asked is actually I purchased a new town home, a new build that's going to be closing in November.
Oh, good timing.
Yeah, so I'm just kind of unsure. Do I sell it now? Do I put it as a rental? I'm not sure, so I'm just kind of not sure where to go.
Yeah, I would hate to see you sell something that obviously you have great equity in that you could eventually, you know, refinance to buy more properties, which is what I would tell you to do rather than sell it. Yeah, it's attractive. I mean, I get a call from a lot of people saying, you know, the time to sell is my investment property. I'm like, well, it's great that you know, you've made $200,000-$300,000 on it over the last few years, but what are you going to do after that? Like, where's your income coming from your renters? So I'm a big believer, unless you hate being a landlord, or unless your tenants, you know, either trashing the place or just not a good tenant, I would not sell an investment property at all. Like I said, unless you hate being a landlord. So,
but you don't see that market coming down at all, do you, Paul?
No. I don't see any market coming down. You know, like we look at what's going up, and it's you know, things that haven't gone up in a long time are going up. I just don't think there's going to be a shift in things coming down at all. Is there going to be a day where we go a little bit stagnant with our sale price and, you know, we're up 1% or 2% over the year? Absolutely, that's going to come. But I can't see us going down, and I can't see any products, especially in suburbia like Barrhaven, having any issues in the future at all.
So I guess Jared's question is, have they peaked?
Exactly.
Nope. They have not peaked. And one thing is, there's, you know, when you define a peak, that means something's coming down. So I don't think there will be a peak. Is it at the highest it's going to be? I'm going to say no. But I think this year might be, at the end of the year, might be sort of, if you want to call it, the peak. But I think what's going to happen after that, it's just going to sort of flatten out a little bit. But it's not going to go down. So whatever you do, don't sell it. I think you should keep it and rent it out. And that's the only way to build wealth, my friend.
Excellent. Thank you so much, everyone.
Obviously, you're smart, Jared. You listen to the show.
Exactly. Thank you, guys.
There's nothing better than hearing a young guy. Okay? That's awesome.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. That's awesome. Any hoops to go through to do that, Frank, to keep your condo, and then when you're waiting on a new build, Is there
Well, there's no hoops. I mean, qualifying to have that second property could be challenging at times, depending on where you're at. I mean, as a 26-year-old, sounds like he's got his head on straight, and hopefully has got a decent income. I've always been with Paul. I mean, the more doors, the better. I mean, look at anybody that has kept their doors from listening to our advice over 14 years has done okay.
Yep.
But sometimes, I've met customers that just want nothing to do with an investment property anymore because they've had a string of bad luck with some tenants. And, if you've made it through the last 14 months with everything that's gone on, you should be okay moving forward. But
how do you time something like that out, though, when you've got a new build and you've got a condo and you want to keep it and rent it out, but yet you've got to leverage the money that you've got in order to take care of both, right?
Well, you do, but again, I mean, the advantage is buying a new build. I mean, depending on when it's ready, I mean, that property could increase tremendously in value as well by the time you get it. And in the meantime, you know, if this continues, then this property that you're in right now continues to go up. And if you're going to pull equity out of this one to buy the other one, then sit tight. And as long as this market continues, you'll be able to pull more equity out as we approach the closing date for the new build.
Yeah, great.
Just think about this. He bought it a year and a half ago. He couldn't have bought it at a better time.
Oh, I know.
Great. When you think about it, like, he probably bought that condo. If it's a condo terrace home, bought it brand new off the builder. He probably paid for it. Like, he's up. I would say he's probably up about $150,000 on that property.
Wow. Plus, whatever.
He hasn't moved into it.
Plus his new build, which is going up every day.
Yep. Absolutely. Yep. Driver's seat. Good job, Jared.
Yeah.
Yep.
See, you got to listen to the show, guys.
That's right.
Love hearing. You know what? Though? Love hearing, especially our young, because again, as these prices continue to soar, it's going to be tougher and tougher for young Canadians to get into the housing market. So yeah. Jared got that head start, got lucky. Well, not lucky. I mean, it's not all luck, but got lucky with what's happened over the last year and a half because we didn't know that it was going to be this crazy. Jared certainly didn't know.
No, timing is perfect.
Jared bought it. There's an opportunity to get into home ownership, which many Canadians absolutely aspire to do. And one of the things, it's something that I like to say all the time, is Canadians in general, they don't shy away from housing debt because more and more of them see ownership as an opportunity to store value. So not only that, but a path towards wealth creation that carries less volatility than investing in a stock market. And that's essentially the way Canadians look at it. So when I see the government always trying to find ways to prevent Canadians from getting into housing or making it harder, I always get disappointed because they're going against with what your population wants.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, Frank, you and I might not have predicted this, but I remember sitting down talking with Steve at around Christmas time. And he actually said to me, he goes, you know what? I actually predict at the end of March, we're probably going to be up about $120,000 on our average sale price. And I thought he was absolutely crazy to think that. But he told me that at the end of December. Steve knew. Steve predicted all this.
Steve who?
This is
Steve Gregory.
This is when you bought him breakfast, Paul?
521-TALK, 521-8255. We'll be right back.
We return to Open House, the Real Estate and Mortgage Show on News Talk 580 CFRA.
You know, guys, one of the nice things about doing this show over the years is watching your fan clubs grow.
And what else is there?
I think we have Paul's biggest fan here now.
His mom?
Hi, Colleen.
Hi.
don't even think of doing what I think you're going to do, Mom.
whatever it is, do it.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Paul. Happy birthday to you.
Yeah.
You know what? Why do you do this every year to me? I am like red as a tomato.
See the color.
I think it's good. Have a wonderful birthday.
Well, it's not till Thursday, but thank you.
Yes. Well, sure.
You can call again next week, Colleen.
Okay. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you.
Awesome.
That's fantastic.
You know what? Actually, I had a memory that came through Facebook today. 6 years ago today, I was taking my dad home from the hospital.
No kidding.
After he broke his neck, yep.
Wow.
Yeah. That long, eh? I can't believe it's that long ago. Wow.
Yep.
And now you're too old to carry him.
Yeah.
I thought that was the last time you bought breakfast, personally, but yeah, I like that one better.
Wow.
Your dad home. That's awesome.
You know what's interesting, guys, is this year is going to be no different for Paul because with the pandemic on, no friends are going to come, just like every other year.
Another birthday alone. Another deal.
Getting closer to that discount, though, that senior's discount there, Steve. He's turning you soon.
Come on.
He is.
I'm turning 47, guys.
I notice as he gets older, the abuse toward me becomes less and less every year.
Listen, Grandpa. It is what it is.
You know what? Steve was telling me this morning, and well, telling you as well, Frank, that when we started doing this show, he was 47. So that's how long we've been doing this show.
And you thought I was old.
I thought you were ancient.
Now what do you think? Yep. No, don't answer that question.
47's a new 20, bud. Come on.
Is that what it is?
You're old as you feel. Well, if that's the case, I'm about 80.
Hey, I'm still in skinny jeans.
Oh, that was what my parents did, but that's, you know what, every year on my birthday, the first person to wish me happy birthday is always Frank.
That's true. Frank's amazing at that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I think he programs it in his phone or something to hit my phone at like 6 a.m.
No, honestly, and I say to customers all the time, you could start talking to me about your mortgage and I'll remember that stuff. I remember dates and numbers. But if you walked in front of me and I met you 5 years ago, I wouldn't remember you. So it's interesting. I mean, my brain's a little bit off that way, but
not just that way. Come on.
Yeah, I know. But I can relate to numbers. I can relate to. It's funny. I mean, everybody has their own strengths. Some people never forget a name. I have a hard time with faces and names. I don't know. And I'm in the business, but I think you're the same, right, Paul?
Oh, big time the same. Like, I played hockey with guys that will friend me on Facebook, and I'll say, who is this guy? And I'm like, Paul, that was one of your best buddies when you played there. Now, that was probably because of my concussions, but you know, I can remember someone's phone number, but I can't remember their name. You know, it's something like that. Yeah, numbers, for sure.
But you certainly remember appointments, right?
Appointments, absolutely.
like showings, that kind of thing?
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
More pre-approvals now, Frank, now that the listings are going up? Does it seem like there's going to be a little more interest created?
Well, if anything, what we're hoping for, obviously, is that, you know, the ones that have been pre-approved and been kind of biding their time, now hopefully it opens up the door for them to start looking at properties and maybe getting into something at a reasonable price. And I mean, not having to bid against 20 or 30 of the people, if you're up against three or four people, but... I'll tell you, Paul, one of my clients went to see a listing that Dora had last week in the outskirts, and boy, it was listed for $869, and I think she sold it for $1.1 million or something, or
$1.2 million.
Wow.
Crazy. Absolutely crazy.
Well, there's a house that I was keeping an eye on. I'm not going to say where it is in the city, but there was a house that I was keeping an eye on for somebody, and two years ago, maybe even 18 months ago, these people paid $725 for it. They just sold it for almost $1.3 2 years ago.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Are you expecting any kind of a flood now with the stress test possibility of change?
I don't think so. I haven't noticed it this week. I don't think Paul... again, I mean, the first-time home buyers likely don't have the 20%, so it doesn't impact them whatsoever. We hope they don't make any changes to the first-time home buyers. I know it feels unfair that somebody buying with 20% down will have a harder time qualifying than somebody that's buying with 5% down. But, you know, I think, you know, the government thought about the fact that we don't want to make it harder for first-time buyers to get into the house. We just want to make it harder. And I think they're trying to make it tougher for people buying investment properties because they want to be able to leave homes out there for people to actually own or occupy as opposed to the rich getting richer. So I get some of the aspects of why they're doing what they're doing. But at the end of the day, I think, you know, if you want to make it tougher for investment properties, well, then make it tougher for investment properties and, you know, make the minimum down payment 30% or 35% if you want to go that route. But don't, but this could hurt some first-time home buyers too, because there is a lot of generational wealth that's being advanced to kids ahead of time. And so some kids are coming in with 20% down because their parents are helping them get there.
And it's not worth going in at 5, right, and keeping the 15%.
Well, I don't think so. I mean, you get a little bit of a better rate on the mortgage, but you're paying a whole lot more on the default insurance.
Yeah.
So it makes way more sense to go the other way, for sure. If you can get the 20% down, you're always better off to go to 20% down.
Birthdays?
Birthdays, a couple on my team. Lionel Zeitzman, who is our IT extraordinaire at the office. Happy birthday to Lionel. And Greg Extens, who's on my team, celebrating his birthday actually today. So happy birthday to Greg. And congrats to my son and Zoe, Stefano and Zoe, who get their new house next Friday.
Nice.
So, awesome. Their first home.
Nice.
Awesome. I have one birthday. My sister, who lives in Australia, on Friday the 23rd, she's 364 days older than I am.
So, wow. So,
happy birthday to my sister.
So we know what time of year your parents like, eh, Paul?
Yeah.
I don't want to hear this, Steve.
And she's living a normal life in Australia. They're open. Everything is running normal. And,
yeah.
You know, we could have learned from what they were doing all along, and maybe we would have been in better shape.
All right, guys. Who should we support?
We should support all local businesses and charities, especially for the next 4 weeks now that we're in another lockdown.
Next 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Well, including the last two. So
exactly.
Another four, I think, right? So
have a great week, gentlemen. Stay safe.
Have a great week, everybody.